Turning our attention now to cross-country skiing. Chad McGrath, our guest, he's the author of several cross-country skiing and hiking guidebooks, including great cross-country ski trails in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ontario. It's great to have him with us. And if you can cross-country ski, maybe you do. And what got you started? What do you enjoy about it? If you've never done cross-country skiing but would like to, what do you need to know to get started? Well, Chad can talk about all of that and a whole lot more. So give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post a photo or a question there at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Chad's with us by phone today. Hi, Chad. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for asking.
If someone, and you know what? Finally, we have snow in, I think, across the entire state of Wisconsin.
Well, I think it's been a little sparse this year, and most people, especially in the southern half of the state, are feeling that way.
But yeah.
Up north where I live and north of me a little bit, up where there's some lake effect snow, it hasn't been that bad, really. We've been doing all right. And I think a lot of skiers tend to take a weekend and maybe head up this direction. So it's here if people want to find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's... It's really nice that there are so many well-groomed trails,
yes,
places for people to go.
Yes, and again, all over the state, you know, some of the more southern trails are harder to find snow on some years than others, like Lapham Peak and Elver and Madison and Devil's Lake State Park. But up here, Razorback Ridges and Escanaba up in the Northern Highlands State Forest, and then ABR if you go up to Michigan, just over the border. They've had snow a good part of the year and could even ski over Christmas. So
yeah.
there's probably, I don't know, there's something between 400 and 500 trails in the state and just shortly around it in northern Minnesota.
Yeah. And a lot of them covered in your book, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we cover about, I think I wrote about 65 trails around that are all around the watershed for Lake Superior. So that was sort of my criteria of the trails.
Pretty much enough to keep you busy for a long, long time.
Oh, you bet, yeah. and most of them have snow most of the time because of the proximity to Lake Superior. Yeah.
We got a Facebook comment from Peggy who says, "Hi, Chad." And she mentions that you teach cross-country skiing classes for the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program.
Yes.
Great place to learn from, she calls you a competent and charming instructor.
Oh, well, wow, that's nice. Thank you, Peggy. My wife and I do cross-country ski class for Becoming an Outdoors Woman down at Tomahawk and at the Stevens Point facility there, and love to do it. It's a lot of fun teaching people to cross-country ski. It combines some mental thought with the physical need to, you know, be able to figure stuff out. So it's a lot of fun teaching.
Oh, it's a lot of fun doing, I can tell you that.
Yes.
As well.
Do you ski?
Yeah, actually, and we've been sort of complaining. My family, my daughter's 8 years old, and my wife. And when we go out cross-country skiing, it's my daughter and I, we kind of, we're a two-person pack. And then my wife, she says, "See you later," and she's off and running on her skis. And we take it a little easier. We're going a little slower.
Yeah, well, nothing wrong with slow. Skiing is both fast and slow.
Oh, man. Amy in Peshtigo, we turn to you. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I haven't been skiing for quite a few years since before we had the kids. And now that they're older, 8 and 10, we'd love to get back out there. But my boots have gotten smaller. And my feet have gotten wider. And I can't seem to find a boot that that'll fit.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you need an extra wide or something? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if you've tried some of the larger cross-country outfitter places. That would be where I'd start, or I'd go to one of the trails that has a lot of rental equipment. That's one of the bigger places, either Winter Park over in Minocqua, AVR up in the peninsula. Over by you, not sure who would be
Peshtigo area
available. But, you know, there have to be some larger size width shoes for you somewhere. So don't give up.
Don't give up. No, for sure.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. And get the kids. Actually, you know, you think about it, there's a little cost involved, but I mean, those skis and boots and that, they can last a long, long time.
Oh yeah. And the other place to go for people who don't want to spend a fortune or don't mind doing a little search around, or the ski swaps early in the season, usually in November. And many ski clubs hold ski swaps where they sell used equipment at the beginning of the season. They'll buy people who want to sell the equipment. Maybe they've outgrown the shoe, like some people have done, or whatever. And then they'll resell it the next day to people who show up for the sale. And it's a very inexpensive way to get equipment. It's real easy.
Steve in Montreal. On to you now. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Larry. This is Steve from beautiful, snowy Montreal, Wisconsin. I'm emphasizing snowy. The temperature has finally got up to, let me look here. Oh, we're above zero. 7 degrees right now. The sun's hot. The Montreal ski trails, which doesn't cost you anything to use. They got a donation box out there, and the groomers would appreciate having a little buck or two thrown in there. But, you know, we got snow up here in Iron County. We got about probably 80 inches that's fallen so far this year, most in the last couple weeks. And I will admit, Larry, I'm more of a downhiller than a cross-countryer, but I do cross-country a little bit. We got the trails, the Montreal trails here right off of Highway 77. Tell you, if your listeners would stop in Hurley, and to the Hurley Chamber, they got all the information in the known world about ski trails.
Yes, and Montreal is a great place to ski. If you want to go there, it's just a little bit to the west off of 77 on west of Hurley, and has a great system, and it's you can look at some old mine heads. There was a lot of mining in those old days there, and it's a real nice trail system. And I know you did have just near you in Guile, just over the weekend, I think you had 34 inches of snow.
Well, I know who measured that. And it tends to, where she lives, it tends to get a little more wind and tends to drift up. But this was powder.
Yeah.
Emphasizing Utah quality powder.
Yeah.
That's why you come to Iron County.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks a lot for calling. Iron County, the place to go.
See, I live in southern Iron County, so we don't get quite that much snow, but we get extra snow, and it's really nice to have.
Well, Connie in Manitowoc's got a comment about Iron County, too. Hi, Connie.
Hello, and yes, along the lines of your previous caller, I used to operate and own Olympia Sport Village in Iron County, which was a cross-country ski resort, now owned by private individuals, but it is my favorite area to ski, Iron County is. The Montreal trails, as he said, are great, but one of my very favorite trails is the Euler Trail, that runs from Whitecap Mountains in Iron County into Pence. Just excellent skiing. Some of it you need to be a pretty accomplished skier, but there are parts that are a little bit easier, but you would not believe the terrain and the beauty that you see along that trail.
Yes, it's a very wilderness feel to that trail. It's a point-to-point trail, which is fairly unusual. It doesn't go in circles. It goes from one place to another, from Whitecap to Pence. And you ski through the Pinoki Hills or the Pinoki Mountains. And, yeah, I think there's a couple of hills on that trail that you need to either take your skis off for or be pretty good at. But I wouldn't let that deter you as long as you've got somebody with you and you can play it safe. It is a great trail. It's along with the Montreal and the other trails up in that area are all I wrote about them some years ago and they're in my book, but they're great trails and it's well groomed too.
And we did work to put that interpretive signage along the Montreal Trail so you can get in an interpretive history of the terrain there being mine remnants and see some of the outbuildings that still exist from that mine and get a sense of the community of Montreal being a mining community and the historic nature of that.
Yeah, it's the mining history and the plaques there about the mining. When I first read them, I was really surprised that there was so much mine and some deep mines there.
Yeah. I tell you what, Connie, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, Tom in Milwaukee coming up next, but we're going to have to wait. Tom, I hope you'll hang in there as we visit with Chad McGrath, author of several books about cross-country skiing. We're talking with him about cross-country skiing in Wisconsin and across the Midwest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Many of us look forward to winter in Wisconsin because it gives us a chance to enjoy sports that rely on ice and snow and kind of arrive late in at least southern Wisconsin. Most of the state, we finally now have snow on the ground, and that means a lot of folks are out there enjoying it, many of them on cross-country skis. Larry Mueller here, happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Do you love to cross-country ski? Where do you enjoy getting that going that you couldn't maybe yet otherwise, or maybe you've never tried, you're tempted, whether you're an expert or a novice, our guest today has some great advice for you. Chad McGrath, author of several cross-country skiing books, with us today. I hope you'll join in. If you have a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234, or you can visit my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a photograph there. And we'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking cross-country skiing with Chad McGrath, who is an expert on it and author of several cross-country skiing and hiking guidebooks. He also has a website. Go to crosscountryskier.com. That's crosscountryskier.com to learn more about what he's got to say about cross-country skiing. So, and I want to talk with him about that site as well, but Tom in Milwaukee has been waiting a long time, so I want to go to Tom. Thank you for calling, Tom. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, guys. Of course, we're all real happy to have some real snow here, even though a bunch of us down here have been skiing over at Lapham Peak, where we've been making snow for probably about the last month, which really is a good thing. I guess what I wanted to say is I've been a cross-country skier for a long time, and such a great exercise and such a great sport. You know, I was able to put in 25 Birkebeiners under my belt, which is a lot of fun. The other thing, a couple of years ago, what we started up to was the Wisconsin Biathlon Association down at McMiller, where we're doing biathlon. Paul Sangren, the superintendent of the Southern Kettle Moraine, has been just a real big supporter, and we have our own dedicated trail to biathlon, which is skiing and shooting, and we could ski right up to the firing line, and we have open clinics and stuff that people can come and give it a try, and it really is a whole new perspective on the sport of cross-country skiing, and just wanted to say what a great place we have for skiing here in Wisconsin. The trails all over the state are fantastic, and just keep spreading the word. It's such a good thing to do.
Thanks for calling. Comment, Chad.
Well, I obviously agree very much, and I always have envied the biathlon folks who manage to ski hard and then be able to be steady enough to shoot a gun and hit something with it. That just is amazing to me. That's cool. Hey, I need to clarify, that isn't my site. That's Cross Country Skier site is for Cross Country Skier magazine. It is.
You're absolutely, yes, of course.
Yeah, so.
Glad to have that straightened out, and glad to have that call. Dan and Mercer, let's turn to you next. Hi, Dan. Dan, are you there? We lose Dan? Maybe we lost Dan. Let's go to Tom in Lake Geneva then. Hi, Tom.
Tom? Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hello, Mary and Chad. This is Tom in Lake Geneva. We finally have some snow. I haven't made it out to LaGrange yet, but I will. We have great trails out there. My question for you is about 30 years ago, I used to ski on wooden skis, and we'd put the tar base on them, and then we'd put the different waxes on. With skis these days that have a, you know, I call them waxless, but they have a perforated bottom, do you still apply wax to the kick area or the glide area?
Are you talking no-wax skis, the ones that have little fish scale-like things on them?
Yeah, and after those scales wear down, after you've gone over the rocks and roots and everything, can you wax them like you'd normally wax an old wooden ski?
Well, I think so. If you have to, the problem is that wax will, if there's any ridging in there yet, any of the fish scale left, the wax will tend to clog up in there, and it'll be a little hard to get a good wax job. But if it's worn down and you want to use wax, you sure can. The other thing you can do if they're not too worn down, for people who have waxless skis, you can wax, and you should wax the tips and the tails of those waxless skis with glide wax, and then the actual rough part in the middle that gives you your grip, you should probably put some kind of a glide paste on, something that you can rub in that'll keep it a little bit smoother and glide when you want to.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, very good. I love cross country skiing. I'm glad we finally have some snow down here.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Tim O in Madison, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi. See, I just want to share the good news about our state parks and opportunities for cross-country skiing when snow is available. Down here in the southern part of Wisconsin, several people have mentioned places like Lapham Peak State Park or LaGrange, which is the Kettle Moraine State Forest. But Governor Dodge, Mirror Lake, there's some great places to ski down here when there's snow. And let's give some credit to the Department of Natural Resources and the supervisors who really have a passion for keeping winter sports like this alive.
Yeah.
Certainly agree with that, Tim. That's a great observation. There's a lot of cool state parks, and they all, many of them have trails that they groom fairly regularly and do a good job.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Lake Eganza is another one. We've enjoyed going there. My daughter and I and wife. Thanks, Tim. And let's turn to an email from Scott in Mequon for the caller who could not find ski boots that fit. She said her feet were too wide. Has she tried men's boots? That's probably worth a try if she hasn't done it.
I have heard of that.
And Jeff in Madison's under the Devil's Lake at one time was one of the better venues for skiing in the state, but now apparently the current supervisor has only one small loop of a trail groomed, and Jeff wonders, how do we get this changed so that more trails are groomed? Also, there's a little bike and ski shop in Baraboo, White Adventure Sports, that rents cross-country skis, Classic and Skate, and snowshoes, to mention that. But
I think with the state parks particularly, one has to talk to the powers that be at that particular park and see if one can influence them in some way. Sometimes it's a dollar thing. Grooming trails costs money. You need the right equipment. You need fuel, and you need somebody to do it. And some it can be any one of those things and any combination that will prevent the park from doing the grooming and or setting up the trail. So, you know, there's some work involved and some expense. So if you talk with them and maybe there's some fundraising needs to be done, some organizing, some volunteering, yeah. Maybe then you can get that going again. Because I remember years ago when I wrote my first book about cross-country skiing, Devil's Lake State Park was one of my favorite skis. It was just a beautiful winter place to be with those bluffs and, yeah. And skiing around them.
Carrie says, over here in west central Wisconsin, we don't have the snow. In fact, UW River Falls had to cancel one of its cross-country ski classes. They're now driving to Minneapolis to ski on man-made snow. So
yeah.
Hopefully that's probably improving. Hopefully it'll improve.
Yeah.
And Tad emailed and says, Chad, I've been trying to ski for a few years now, and I can't seem to get the hang of it. I seem to work really hard. Any tips?
Sure. One of the first things you need to be able to do on skis, whether you skate or whether you classic ski, is to be comfortable with balance. So I always recommend people who want to skate ski learn how to classic ski at least a little bit before you jump into skate skiing. And maybe this person has already classic skied, but you need to be comfortable with your balance. And to skate ski, you have to stand on one ski for a little bit of time, and you have to be comfortable doing that. And most people who cross country ski shuffle along in the track, and that's fine. When you get out of that track and have to risk being up on one ski skate skiing, it's difficult to do. And if you don't do it that way, you run out of oxygen very quickly. And, that's why a lot of people have trouble with skate skiing, because the less good you are at it, the less technically skillful, the more aerobic skill you need. And that's also why some people who are aerobic animals can go out and skate ski like mad, because they're able to do it badly and still ski pretty well. The technique is not there, but they're strong enough and have aerobic fitness, and they can push themselves down the trail. So I think practicing in the classic track, and then maybe taking a lesson. I mean, that they'll give you some beginning. They'll break down the technique, and an instructor will give you some things to practice that are pieces of the skate technique. And you'll know where to do it and how to do it, and then you put them all together, and it works. You'll be surprised.
You know, an email from Randy urging listeners to visit skinnyski.com for
yes.
Midwest reports.
SkinnySki.com is probably the all-around best website for finding trails, finding trail conditions, and information about cross-country skiing here in the Midwest, up-to-the-minute kind of things. People actually write in their experience an hour ago at such and such a trail, and so you really know what's going on the trail system.
An email from Mark: I had to purchase new boots this year, but they don't fit on the bindings of my favorite skis. Can I have the binding changed from one ski to another?
Yeah, you can. You'll need to find bindings that fit those boots, and then have them put on your favorite ski. That's not too hard to do. Most ski scores can do that.
Okay, Dan and Mercer, we're on to you now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think I got disconnected from all the snow up here on the first attempt. Hi, Chad. This is Dan Borman.
Hello, Dan. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, you too. Larry, and I'd like to mention that a lot of the trail systems are run by cross-country ski clubs, and they are totally dependent on donations. These are not county, state, or federal trails, even though they might be partially or totally on public lands. The Montreal and Uller trails previously mentioned are one of these ski clubs, along with, here in Mercer, the Mecca Ski Club, Wolverine and Ironwood. And at Mecca, a snowmobile capable of pulling a groomer costs us $15,000. You add on the groomer and warming cabin and porta potties, with the never-ending fuel bills, it gets costly. And most of these clubs are a core group of maybe 6 to 10. The clubs might have 50 members, but it's a core group of 6 to 10 people that do everything. And they're really, really dependent on donations that come in. So, in fact, the Montreal Uller Trail is basically one guy. And they're known as the Pinocchi Rangers. And he, by the way, was also a groomer at one of the Olympics.
Oh.
So there's some real talent out there. And I just like to put a plug in for the clubs, and I'm sure throughout the state there are clubs that have these land use agreements with public agencies, and they're really dependent on donations from skiers. So thanks for what you're doing, and Chad, hope to see you on a Tuesday night ski one of these days. You and MJ.
All right, Chad, comment?
Yeah, everything you said is certainly right, and ski clubs do most of the grooming in on many of the trails, and it depends, you know, whether the agency, if it's the DNR, may own the equipment, and sometimes they do their own grooming. Sometimes they do have a land agreement so that the ski club can do the grooming, and the ski club then needs to come up with the funds for all of those things, and it is expensive, and it's also I think Dan alluded to it. It's not easy technically, learning to groom and being able to drive that snowmobile with pulling a couple hundred pound groomer behind you is tricky. And if you have to make a turn that you're not real good at making, you'll get stuck. And I remember skiing at the Black River Falls forest trails years ago, and coming across a groomer who had gotten his machine stuck, and he was just buried. And I saw him later that day, and it took them all day to get that groomer out of there. They had to get another machine because you don't get traction on snow, even in a snowmobile. You don't can't pull much, and so it's a tough thing to do. It's technical. People actually go to classes and learn these kinds of things. The AVR up in Active Backwood Retreats up in Ironwood has a 2 or 3 day course for trail groomers each winter. I think it's coming up this weekend. So it's a technically difficult thing to do.
Yeah. I got a Facebook comment from Quentin. The only time I've done cross-country skiing was in middle school for Phi Ed class, and the class was always difficult because of my duck-footedness and because of my vision being so poor. Do you have any experience with teaching legally or totally blind people how to ski, or at least tips for the blind skier?
Wow. I actually have never taught a visually impaired person. I'm sure there are instructors in the state who have at some of the larger ski shops and ski trails. I also know that each year over at the Birkebeiner, which is a 50-plus kilometer ski race in Cable to Hayward every year, that often there's a blind skier or two who ski it with a guide that helps them perceive all the people on the trail. So there are folks who are legally blind who do some pretty serious skiing, and there are indeed people who specialize in teaching that. But I can't refer you to anybody. Maybe somebody can call in and let us know.
Yeah, that would be great. If you can call in or send us an email or go to my Facebook page and let us know, we would really appreciate it. Thank you. David in Stevens Point, it's your turn. Hi, David.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've been on cross-country ski since I was 5 years old, and probably one of mine. I've raced lots of races. I'll be doing my 18th Berkey this year, and I frequent Standing Rocks Park here in Portage County quite a bit, and the Plover River Trail when time allots. And as you're saying, grooming is expensive, so there's very little grooming going on at either anymore. But one of my favorite things is skiing in March. The temps are a little bit warmer. The grooming kind of ceases, and it's just wonderful to watch nature tell you that spring is here. There'll be snow and ice everywhere, but you can just tell by the amount of wildlife changing from February to March, and skiing towards the end of March is really a lot of fun. So I just encourage people that maybe you don't like to ski in January, get out there in March and enjoy the trails we have in Wisconsin, because we're really, really blessed to have so many great trail systems locally and around us.
Very good.
Good points, David. And Chad, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like skiing in short sleeves. It's a wonderful experience. And being warm, it's terrific.
David in Lake Tomahawk, on to you. Hi, David.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Chad.
Hello.
I just wanted to, I've been an avid cross-country skier since about 1970, and my kids grew up, you know, I had to taught them how to ski and everything. And anyway, my son located in the Green Bay area after going to beat on the college ski team there, and he started a youth ski club 3 years ago, and he's up to 160 kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've had to cancel both events this year so far because they didn't have snow, but he started this club and he thought maybe the first year he'd get a couple of dozen kids, and he ended up with about 60, and last year he had over 100, and this year, like I said, 160 kids have signed up.
Oh.
And I'm so proud of him for starting this club. And
that's wonderful.
Pass that on. Yep. The name of the club is Bay Nordic, and they ski at the reforestation camp there, just north of Green Bay. And
he's doing a good
job of promoting the sport.
Yeah, and reforestation camp is a very, very fun trail, and lots of kilometers of trail, and it's well taken care of.
Yeah, well, that's great. He must have some buddies or friends helping with the instruction and all the rest of it.
Yeah, a lot of parents are skiers, and they help coach.
Ah,
okay. He divides the groups into, I think they start 3 years old, so he'll have a group of 3 to 5 year olds, and then 6 to 8, up to 12.
Yeah.
And he has more donations from these people. He's got, it's just amazing.
No,
it's a lot of fun, and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, you should be. Thanks, David. Thank you very much for calling.
Piece of advice about kids and skiing. It's good for 3, 4, 5 year olds to go out and ski, and you don't want to give them poles. They do much better if they don't have to deal with the pole thing. And you'll be amazed at how they can motor down the trail without those poles. And introduce the poles as they get a little bit older. But 3, 4, 5 year olds, best not to have poles.
Tim in Fox Cities, on to you. Hi, Tim.
Hello. I'd just like to give a shout out for the Iola Winter Sports Club, 5 miles north of Waupaca. It's a non-profit club. It's on private land. We have snowmaking, 5 miles of lit trails for night skiing, full ski rentals, full amenities inside, instruction, youth ski league. They do host the jumping there. They have the jumps for the Badger State Games. It's open every weekend, and they did start skiing, and we do make snow. So it is a wonderful place. We have a piston bully for grooming. And if you talk to anybody that's been there, it's some of the best grooming in the Midwest.
So Fox Valley, what's the name again?
Iola Winter Sports Club, and it's 5 miles northwest of Waupaca. So it's an hour drive from the Fox Cities, Green Bay, 20 minutes from Stevens Point, about an hour from Wausau, and it's open all the time. It's a wonderful place to go.
Yeah, I've skied there. It is a neat trail system. Some good hills and some not so difficult trails if you want to do that. And maybe the neatest thing, if you've ever never seen a ski jump up close, you can go there and ski right near their ski jump and see how big those things really are, and be amazed that people actually do that.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Barbara in Milwaukee. A quick comment from you.
Hi. I am from Iron County, and I first skied when I encountered some old Finnish hand-carved heavy skis. They were 9 feet long.
Ah!
Wow.
They were whopping heavy. But you could ski over anything with them.
I bet.
It certainly took a lot of effort, and there were just leather straps to hold them on.
Yeah, wow.
And I love skiing. I can ski here in Milwaukee, and there's some really great nature preserves that are terrific to ski in, like Bong and woods and around here. But I like to go where there's no sound, and I like to go where there's no ski mobile sound, especially. Do you know any place where I can go where there's no sound?
Well,
got about 15 seconds.
Okay. I think up north in the Northern Highland State Forest, you can go skiing and not hear anything sometimes. And that's one place I know.
Northern Highland State Forest. That's a good suggestion. Chad, boy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to your next visit. Hope you'll do it again with us.
I would love to. Thanks a lot, Larry.
Thank you. Chad McGrath, author of several cross-country ski and hiking guidebooks, including cross-country ski trails in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ontario. Tomorrow, wow, tax day, just a few months off. CPA Scott Franklin joins us to talk about it. Stay with us.